You are listening to the Horizons Church podcast.
Good morning, Ethan.
Good morning, Josiah.
And to you who listen, good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, or good night. Oh, we just did that at the same time. It's like we know how the watches of the day work.
Yeah, it really strips the wonder out of that moment. I wonder if anybody listens to this like as they go to bed.
Man, I don't know how to feel about that if they do.
I don't know. Hey, if you find this soothing and we somehow don't awaken you with our laughter, hey, that's great. have a good rest.
Sleep tight. Or wake up if it's the morning and you're tired. Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Shake off those sleepy feelings.
A big old gulp of that coffee.
Yeah, do it right now.
Or that tea or whatever.
Let's all drink in unison, right?
That's it. Yes. Here. Except I've already had mine.
Yeah, coffee. I finished mine. So, I hate to say it.
There we are. That's it. Which, by the way, the milk and honey blend with a little bit of milk in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as coffee goes. Sorry. Nice. We've been back and forth alluding to that in a few episodes. So
it's good. It's good to hear.
Really does hit the spot.
The most recent one that I had that was like really amazing. Unfortunately, I don't know if I remember how to pronounce it or if I ever knew how to pronounce it. I think it's like H-U-I-L-A. Huila? I don't know if that's it. I don't know. Mm. But like region or blend or whatever. But the brand is Sterling Coffee Roasters. Oh boy. That was an unexpected like top five.
Mm.
It was really good.
Did sneak its way into the top five.
It really did. I recently got one. I think it's called Killer Queen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to feel
like
about
a killer
that.
Queen hornet, queen bee.
I'm like, is this a reference to Queen
Mary, Queen of Scots?
I don't. I'm
or
uncertain.
The band Queen.
I'm really truly uncertain. It's got a kind of psychedelic branding on the bag. I'm like, cool. Like that's cooler than I would have come up with. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's not killer. Okay, I wouldn't say. Yeah. I would say middling
if,
queen.
If this was Mary Queen of Scots, she would not have been.
No.
You know. Getting at old Thomas Cranmer.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a really deep cut for those of you who... Mary Queen of Scots. You know, Thomas Cranmer, reformer. He was martyred.
Yeah, I would say this is not Killer Queen, but like Freddie Mercury just getting ready for the show in like 7 hours. So we're like, we're not warmed up yet.
Mm.
You know, it's sort of that. Sorry, Freddie.
We are not the champions.
Not yet.
But maybe one day.
Maybe.
Yes. Well, it is always nice, though, when you have an unexpected coffee make its way in the top five.
It really is.
You know what's not nice?
What's not nice?
Is when things happen in life that you don't expect, but they're not good.
Sure words. Have they ever been spoken? I don't think so. It's very accurate in every way.
That's really...
The unexpected part makes it far worse.
It is. I think it's one of the more discouraging parts of life.
Yeah.
To be, you know, out of the, you know, realm of, oh, yeah. I mean, no, it's less than ideal.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you, please. I insist.
I always like to go to my favorite, not so favorite verse about like hope deferred. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, is that rough. It feels akin to this in a way.
Yes.
You know, your expectations are like, ooh, something has gone awry and that can hit hard.
It can. Yes. All laughter aside, you know, when you get the unexpected roadblock or the obstacle that just, you know, shows up seemingly out of nowhere, you know, you lost the great job.
Yeah.
You didn't get into the dream school. Life just in general hasn't panned out the way you'd planned or hoped for, which comes back to your reference to Proverbs. Yeah. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I think Christians can, in particular, be discouraged from continuing to minister to others when such things happen.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. I think we can have, like, this head knowledge that, like, we're not promised prosperity and things to go all smoothly and perfectly. And even so, when, like, the times hurt, I think you can know that, but just as easily get lost in the misery of that moment or that, like, disillusionment, you know?
Yes.
I feel like you can feel a bit untethered, no matter how much you kind of know in your head, oh, this is to be expected. I shouldn't be taken aback.
Yes, and yet unexpected.
Exactly.
Do not be surprised. Yes, and again, nothing wrong with having those moments of, say, lament or anything like that.
Right,
Psalms are
course.
Full of them. Jesus did that. But, you know, at the same time, you take, for example, the fact that when he's dying on the cross, one of the things he continues to do is pray for and minister to others, like his mother and the beloved disciple. And he says, you know, behold, here's your mother. He's still doing that kind of stuff.
That is wild, especially to put it so plainly.
Yes.
Wow.
So all that is to say, I was struck again recently by how Paul specifically turned unexpected obstacles into unexpected opportunities. Mm. Actually, he flipped that on its head to advance the cause of Christ, because, you know, we could use the Jesus example there, but like, that's one of those where it's like, oh, he knew the cross was coming. You know,
right,
what I mean? Like, there's
yeah.
another. But Paul, in his case, very unexpected what he was dealing with in the little bit we're going to talk about here briefly. And thankfully, all of this, at least on my end, reminds me, you know, we're not the first to walk through hardships like the ones we face today.
Yeah.
You know, we're not the first to find, oh, we had plans or we had these hopes and suddenly something unexpected happens and now we're thrown for a loop.
Yeah.
And so I do find it helpful and encouraging to look at folks like the Apostle Paul and see, well, how did he handle moments like this?
Sure.
So in particular, you see in the book of Philippians, Paul doing this. Because one of the most amazing things about this little book, which, funny enough, not ha-ha funny, but, you know, is that it's one of the books that mentions joy the most. One of the frequent themes in Philippians is rejoicing and joy. Huh. And Paul wrote this while he was under house arrest.
Dang.
Which is not the circumstance you'd expect to hear that.
No, I mean, I think
be writing on that.
You could easily expect the writing to take quite a dark turn.
Yes.
You know?
Right. But it doesn't. So, I mean, just quickly, background. Paul's confined in a house in Rome when he writes this. He's under guard, awaiting trial. So, you know, I mean, talk about making good use of your time. You
yeah.
know, he's doing all that and he's not saying like, well, I can't do anything. Like he's finding ways to continue to advance the banner of Christ by writing this letter, for one. And the church at Philippi, which had a wonderful relationship with Paul, was concerned about his imprisonment. They wanted to know how he was doing, how the gospel ministry was going, since he'd been taken out of the game, especially. And one of their concerns seems to be, if we read the letter and we're reading it rightly, that they worried that if Paul was bound in chains, the gospel might be too.
You'd be alarmed, I think. Like,
yeah, sure.
What does this say about us? Could we expect trouble? What is it? What's going to happen to this like significant person to us in our community? And like, what does it say about what we believe? And
yes.
Yeah.
And especially when you consider historically how many movements, especially you're thinking within that like Greco-Roman time period, faltered and fell apart because the key leader was either imprisoned or killed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, you even see that alluded to in Acts. Gamaliel in Acts 4 or 5, is it? Where he's talking about, you know, oh, well, if this movement, this Christian movement, isn't related to God, then it'll all fall apart. We've seen this happen to little movements where the leader dies and then it all.
I think that's interesting, especially in this instance, that fear would be very concrete for them.
Yes. So, oh, that was a little tangential thing to say. Paul wrote this letter to answer some questions, and right from the get-go, he let them know that even living under house arrest in Rome could not take him out of the game. He showed them how even when normal life comes to an unexpected halt, the gospel can still blaze a new trail forward. And because Paul was under house arrest, he couldn't gather together with the church. You know, he couldn't come and go as he pleased. He had to rely on the kindness and generosity of others for his daily needs. Normal life as a Roman citizen had come to a full stop for him.
Mm-hmm.
And for most people, that would be enough to stop them from doing much of anything at all except for grumbling and complaining.
Oh, certainly.
If I was to be honest and think about how would I respond in that situation, you know, unfortunately, I don't know. You know, I've never been under that circumstance, thankfully, but you kind of wonder like, oh, would I be in that kind of grumbly, complaining, like, well, I'm stuck, there's nothing I can do mode, you know?
Yeah, I know myself well enough to know that I probably wouldn't approach this and come out the other side with flying colors. I know how it's
something
gonna
for both of us to pray about, you know? But on that note, Paul was maybe slightly more advanced than we are.
That's a plausible statement.
Yes, because he saw how God meant this unexpected obstacle to provide an unexpected opportunity. And what I mean by that is, well, exactly what Paul writes in Philippians 1, 12 through 13. Here's what it says. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters in Philippi, that what has happened to me, that is being imprisoned under house arrest, has actually served to advance the gospel as opposed to stopping it.
Mm.
As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ.
I mean, that is a rough way to go about it, but I mean, I take your point, Paul. That wouldn't be my first choice, you know?
Yeah, like I want to find another way to do this,
yeah.
You know?
Are there alternatives?
Because, yeah, like what had happened to Paul was he's, of course, been imprisoned not for thievery or murder or rebellion, but for preaching the good news of Jesus, you know? And you want to pay close attention to that. This imprisonment happened to Paul. You know, he didn't ask for it. He was bound in chains because of decisions made by others that were beyond his control, but he didn't let that stop him from sharing the word of Christ with those who happened to be near him, which in this case happened to be the imperial or palace guard of Caesar, you know, the emperor, the most powerful man in the, you know, the living man on earth at that point in the world stage.
I mean, at that point, what are they going to do? Put him on double house arrest? he's already in a predicament. That said, personally, again, here's me being less mature. I would be afraid of something worse.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like my imprisonment can be downgraded. I am in a house. So
yes, that is very fair. He had some pretty tough experiences.
Yeah, for sure.
But all that to say is he still takes this unexpected obstacle and sees it as an opportunity, because he's with the Imperial Guard of Caesar. Their privileged position had insulated them from common Christians.
Oh, that's interesting.
They were like the personal guard.
Yeah.
For like, they did very specific things. So they were insulated until now, because now you've got the great Apostle Paul, who's chained to at least one of them for a few hours at a time. Like, this is the way this probably would have worked. You know,
that is not a fun duty.
Yeah, that's like, you are in for it.
Like, do I have to be chained to this guy? You know? Like,
And he takes advantage of that. He's not going to let that opportunity slide. And so he shares the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. And as it turned out, apparently the guards didn't keep that to themselves, because Paul said it came to be known among everyone else that he was in chains because of his witness to Christ. So, in other words, the gospel blazed a trail to unreached people, not in spite of Paul's imprisonment, but precisely because of Paul's imprisonment. So you have this unexpected obstacle that becomes an unexpected opportunity for new outreach. You know, we could take the Genesis 50:20 line here, you know, like what the enemy meant for evil to stop the gospel, God meant for good to further the spread of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think to the point we've made kind of tongue in cheek here throughout this episode is, you know, I don't know how we would do that, you know, like, we'd, you know, probably be more focused on how bummed out we were as opposed to saying like, oh, well, here's a group of guys that haven't heard the gospel yet. And here I am, you know, they're chained to me. They have to listen to me, you know, like, no choice. So I think one of the questions is, how did Paul manage to keep his head on like that? How was it that he could see such a hardship, not as an occasion for despair, but as an opportunity to advance the gospel?
Yeah, I mean, what happens when you have that perspective, right? You're like, oh, I can use this. And you make your first attempt at like broaching the conversation and it flops. What happens? I would be so discouraged.
Yeah.
Like, well, I tried, God. Like, I would kill to be on a fly on the wall to see like how I really would desperately love to know exactly how the conversation went and to also understand the language, because it wasn't English. So it's a detail. But it makes me think of like John in prison after everything, finally wondering if he'd gotten it wrong.
Yeah.
I definitely think I'd be a little bit more like John than Paul.
Yeah.
It gives me comfort to remember like how like Christ handled that.
Yes.
With a lot of grace.
Right. Yes.
But that's kind of what I would expect.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, I for one would echo your sentiment to want to be a fly on that wall and hoping that they were speaking in Koine Greek. So, you know, it's like, maybe I could pick up just a little bit.
Yeah.
But it reminds me to your point about, you know, oh gosh, what happens? You do that for the first time and it flops. Because to that point, he says that the reason for his imprisonment had become known, but he doesn't say that anyone like converted.
That's true.
He doesn't mention
actually.
That.
Yeah.
And so that kind of stuff always reminds me. And this is going to link to my comments here in a moment. But Eugene Peterson, a great pastor, author, was talking about this sort of thing where it's like, oh, you know, I tried this and it didn't work. And he said anytime he would come across that, he would think of this kingfisher that had visited his house one summer. Hmm. Like the bird, the kingfisher.
Yes.
Right? Beautiful bird that swoops down and tries to get fish, which is why it's called a kingfisher. But also it's the kingfisher. So you get this idea in your head that like he's the best.
Yeah.
You know, this is what he does. Mm-hmm. And he said he watched one summer this visiting kingfisher swoop and dive for fish in the lake near his house. And he said he counted 37 dives before it finally got one. And so he said anytime he had that thought or someone was like, well, I tried it and it didn't work, he's like, well, how many times did you try? 37? You know, like, because sometimes it takes more than one. All that to say is I think unless you have the same faith that Paul did, which is, you know, he believed in the gospel he was sharing.
Yeah.
Right? unless you have that, you will, I think, immediately probably, I'll put it this way, my tendency would be to go to despair.
Oh,
if like, I tried it, Lord, you know, I did what you said, and it didn't work.
I feel that.
But then you have to come back to, well, what is this gospel that I'm sharing? And remembering that at the heart of it, the gospel opportunity for salvation was itself born out of, for us, the most unexpected obstacle, which was a Roman cross.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul even alludes to that in 1 Corinthians, where he says, the cross is foolishness to the Greeks and a stumbling block to the Jews. Where it's like, you look at that and you're like, no, like this can't be it. But it is.
Yeah.
And so Paul believed with all his heart that what Satan had meant for evil in murdering God's beloved son, God meant for good, so that Christ might bear our judgment, die in our place, rise from the dead, never to die again, and offer us forgiveness of sins and the free gift of eternal life. Which, if you consider that and remember that and take it to heart, like Paul, you can, I think, come to believe that no matter how bad things may look, Christ is alive, he's reigning at the right hand of the Father, and his purposes can't be thwarted by anything. Not an emperor, not the devil, not disease, not sickness, certainly not by a pitiful house arrest, if all that's true.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the same gospel we preach today. Christ has died, risen, reigning right now. Nothing can thwart his purposes. And on top of that, I also find it encouraging that this is really nothing new. Like, this wasn't something unique either to Christ and then the presentation of the cross, or Paul under house arrest. Because God has been advancing his purposes in head-scratching ways from the beginning.
Yeah, of course.
And has continued to do so throughout history.
That is sort of like the signature move.
You know? It is, yes, yes. I heard a guy once say, and you have to take this the way he, you know, meant it, because you could take it the wrong way. But okay. Given our discussion, hopefully you can gather what he means. But he said, God loves to be backed into a corner and then flip things around and win in the most unexpected way.
Yeah.
You know, and you see this. And I mean, just as a sampling of the same kind of thing that Paul did. So he writes this magisterial letter called Philippians while he's under house arrest. Unexpected obstacle presents an unexpected opportunity. Okay. Take that same dynamic, just writing something that's beneficial and helpful to the church. The Apostle John penned the book of Revelation while he was exiled on the island of Patmos.
Yeah.
I don't think John wanted to be exiled on the island of Patmos.
Probably not at the top of the list.
No, but then that exile ends up being an unexpected opportunity for him to be, I mean, for lack of a better term, he is alone and able to receive these visions.
Yeah.
You have Martin Luther. He translated the Bible into his native German while he was secluded in hiding from Roman Catholic persecution. He's up hiding in a tower, and instead of saying like, well, I'm stuck, I want to be doing the work of Reformation, but I can't do anything. Instead, he takes that opportunity to say, well, I'm up here in this tower by myself with books. I can translate the Bible into German.
That's a project.
Huge project. But unexpected obstacle, there's an opportunity. Charles Spurgeon's wife, Susanna, she was bedridden with illness when she started a worldwide charity that put books into the hands of pastors who were too impoverished to afford them. So instead of saying like, well, I'm sick, I can't do anything, she's like, well, one thing I can do is I can set up this organization to put books into the hands of pastors who can't afford them.
Yeah.
Another one that literally just popped into my head, John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress while he was in prison.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Which, of course, has gone down as, I think it's, if it's not the best-selling, one of the, it's like, it's the second or third best-selling work of all time.
Something like, yeah, I remember hearing that.
Like, wrote it in prison, you know, unexpected obstacle. And there he is, writing a classic that has gone down hundreds of years later,
yeah,
still being read and benefiting the church. So all that is to say is the gospel often blazes new trails through people just like us when our normal lives perhaps come to an unexpected halt or we run into an unexpected obstacle. So I think a question that we would all do well to ask, and I'm including myself in this, is what if the gospel blazed new trails through us not in spite of but because of a setback, because of an obstacle, because of a roadblock? The other thing you have to remember is that things like wealth and our health or work, anything like that that we tend to want to base our well-being on, those can be taken away from us in mere moments.
Yeah.
Like it can happen that quickly. And that means we need something not only firm to stand upon ourselves, which in our case is Christ and his gospel, but to share with others, both in their hour of need, but also our hour of need. Like when we're facing those obstacles, there's an opportunity almost where it's not just, I think for Paul, his opportunity to share the gospel with, say, the Imperial Guard, but to share it with himself again.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, to remind himself like, oh no, my imprisonment really is for Christ, in the sense that this is an opportunity for me to remind myself I'm sharing in the sufferings of Christ. I'm united to him. He is working this not only for their good, but for mine. Mm-hmm. And let me remind myself of that too. So, you know, hopefully that's something we can all at least ask ourselves and begin to pray and ponder about as we go about this day. And I hope no unexpected obstacles come your way. You know, it's nice to have a nice quiet life of godliness, you know, where we're just, you know, I was talking to Zach before we started recording and he was like, uneventful. You know, he's like, how are things? Uneventful. It's been uneventful. Like, that's good. You know, uneventful is
underrated.
Love uneventful. Love boring. I love boring.
Yes.
But when it's not, you can take the Apostle Paul as your example. So at any rate, thank you, as always, for listening. If you have any questions on this or any other topic, you can feel free to email us at podcast@horizonschurch.net. And if you found this helpful, maybe it got a little unexpected thing coming your way, and this was a benefit, you can leave us an honest 5-star review. You know, that would be an unexpected blessing for us. We would love that just so much. No, we are sincerely grateful you're listening. Thank you, as always, and we'll catch you next time.